Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
See him hold his ear. I see the blood go across his face. I'm like 4, maybe 5 feet away. And I see him take himself down. He didn't fall down.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Selena Zito, political reporter for the Washington Examiner and author of the new book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. We go in depth with Selena Zito today on Butler, here on the program. Selena, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate talking with you. You are previously a Pulliam Fellow here on Hillsdale's campus, which means we've actually met in person. We've talked.
So we have, and I have a deep affection for Hillsdale. That was a wonderful experience that I hope I get to do again. I stayed in touch with almost all of my students, and it was a very rich experience.
We appreciate your presence on campus and your assistance to our journalism students here. The new book is Butler, and part of this is a discussion of exactly what happened on that day in Butler, the assassination attempt on then-candidate Donald Trump. You were there. You were a part of it. I don't want to spend a good portion of the interview having you relive what happened, because that is so a powerful inside Butler. But if you could, take us through some of your most vivid memories of what you experienced that day.
Some of my vivid memories are actually comical. I'm not the type of person that gets nervous during interviews. I tend to be more interested in having a conversation with whoever I'm interviewing, whether it is a candidate for president, or just someone on the street that I meet and wondering, you know, how politics is impacting their lives. So that part aside, I was going into the event, and so what was on my mind, it was that I get across to voters, you know, sort of what President Trump wanted to accomplish. And so I wasn't nervous about that I have interviewed him numerous times. However, what I was nervous about was logistics. Mm-hmm. Logistics always make me crazy. So some of my most vivid memories about that day was like getting there on time. And, you know, I was going with my daughter, who is a photojournalist, and my son-in-law, who we had convinced that he needed to carry all of our equipment so we would look nice and not hot and sweaty. but it didn't matter. We looked that way anyways, like 101 degrees that day. Mm-hmm. And I pull up to their house, and he's washing the car, and he is clearly not showered yet. So, like, my anxiety started immediately. But, you know, we got out on enough time. I had blazingly lied to them that we needed to be there by 1 when
right.
We didn't need to be there until 2. So those things still stand out to me that day, you know, and driving, you know, when you go to a Trump rally, is a very colorful experience, much like going to a Jimmy Buffett concert used to be, mm-hmm. where people were dressed with parrot hats and parrot shirts and everybody's happy. Well, Trump rally is very much like that, only it's with patriotic clothing, right? And so as we're driving, and people are very, there's a lot of entrepreneurness associated with the Trump rally.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're driving along, we're about a mile outside of the rally event in Butler, and there are, it's a residential street, it's like two-lane road, and there are people like selling lemonade, kids selling lemonade and clothing and selling parking spots so you can walk to it. And there was even a guy with a biddle that was selling a moonshine. And I so wish I would have stopped there or at least got his name, because I was like, I love this so much. So those are sort of the colorful moments that stand out to me for that day.
Selena Zito is with us. Her new book is Butler. You can also read more of her work at selenazito.com. Something else from Butler, Selena. You mentioned everyone at this rally in Butler is so happy. What do they have to be so joyful about?
They were really excited. The last time that President Trump had come to Butler was just on Halloween night in 2020. And you know, a lot of journalists struggle to understand why he goes to places like Butler, Pennsylvania, or Ashtabula, Ohio, or Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, because these are places where these voters are very, very different than what you see in D.C. and New York. It's not that someone's better or worse, but these voters don't have the same power in their voice. And they don't get, you know, they're often covered in a disparaging way. So, it makes them more joyful. It makes the event even more exciting for the people that he shows up in their backyard. There are very few politicians that understand that. There have only been ever in our history two candidates for president that have ever campaigned in Butler. And that's Donald Trump and John F. Kennedy.
Hmm.
About 10 minutes before President Trump has landed, it's about 5:15, but he's in the back behind the stage and he does this thing called a click area. And basically what he does is he meets with state troopers, first responders, thanks them for their service. He meets with community people and he'll pull, his just staff will pull random people from the rally and he'll just talk with them and shake their hands. It's one of the things that people don't get about President Trump. He's incredibly curious.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants to know about people's lives.
Selena, you have an interview before the speech with Donald Trump that is moved and adjusted. Eventually it becomes, it's going to happen after the speech, but he still wants to talk to you beforehand to say hello. What's happening in those minutes before Donald Trump takes the stage in Butler?
We get guided out and he goes on stage. He goes out on stage and we're in what's the area, my daughter, my son-in-law and myself, and three other photojournalists, Evan, Anna, and Doug Mills. We're in the buffer area. The buffer area is the stage, it's between the stage and the rally goers. And mostly it's used by Secret Service and photojournalists so they can get the photojournalists so they can get photos. Usually, there's never a reporter there, but at this point I'm stuck because I have to leave immediately afterwards to go in the motorcade, the three of us do. So they just put us in the buffer. And that's how I ended up 4 feet away.
Right.
And so we fall, the president goes out. Lee Greenwald plays. If y'all look at the cover of the book, my daughter took the photo.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful cover in that you see President Trump, but you only see the back of him. And he has his arms out, and the crowd is looking at him. And that's significant because in the next couple of minutes, President Trump does something he never does. Two things. And they save his life.
Selena Zito with us, her brand new book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. She was there as this happened, as it unfolded. Selena, what are those two things that then candidate President Trump does that helped to save his life?
The rally starts, he starts speaking, and he does something he never, two things he's never done. And again, they saved his life. there is a chart that comes down. And I remember thinking, what is he, like Ross Perot? What's going on here?
Right.
And he does another thing that he never does. And if you've ever been to a Trump rally, you know the relationship between him and the people attending is very transactional. He feeds off of them. They feed off of him. It's a very emotional, connective tissue. He will turn his body away to look at different parts of, you know, a stage, but he never turns his neck away. But the chart goes down, he turns his neck away, and that's when I hear four pops.
Okay, we'll pause there. Come back to hear more of this story. Selena Zito is with us. Her book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. More next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
When you need a workers' compensation attorney, the only thing worse than no attorney is a bad attorney. Consider speaking with more than one attorney before you decide who you want to represent you. You should be interviewing the actual attorney, not just their staff. An extra couple of weeks in selecting the right attorney for you could have lifelong impact. We hope you will try Gorman Law. There is never any pressure, and consultations are always free. Call us at 530-262-2168. or schedule online at GormanCompLaw.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're talking with Selena Zito, national political reporter for the Washington Examiner and author of the new book, Butler. When we left, Selena, you said you had just heard the gunshots, the pops. What happened next right in front of you in Butler?
And I see him hold his ear. I see the blood go across his face. I'm like 4, maybe 5 feet away. And I see him take himself down. He didn't fall down. And within minutes, within the next 4 shots are fired, I'm still standing. Mm-hmm. Never once occurs to me to get down. Never once. I'm like, I have a job to do. I have to continue doing it. This is my job. And the next 4 shots go off. And then Michelle Picard, my son-in-law has already taken my daughter down. And Michelle Picard just like throws me to the ground. I had black and blue marks for at least 10 days. And just covers me on top of me. And there's an iconic photo. It's in the book as well. But there was an iconic photo of him on top of me. And you can see my cowboy boots.
Yes.
And so many people knew it was me because I always wear cowboy boots.
I remember seeing them when you were giving your lecture here at Hillsdale, yes.
Yeah, I always wear them. They're comfortable, yet dressy. They're very stylish. You know, I just wear them. And thank Jesus in heaven that I was wearing a skirt that day. That is a skirt with shorts in underneath it. Mm-hmm. Every woman listening to this show is like, yeah, we get it. Because my legs were way up in the air when the photo was taken and he took me down. Everyone in my family thought I was dead at that moment.
You can hear, you can read about the rest of that day in Butler by Selena Zito. I want to ask quickly about the next day and then ask about the fight for America's heartland. So the next morning, you get a call from President Trump, and he calls you 7 more times that day. He has staff, he has advisors, he has people around him. Why do you think he was so diligent about reaching out to you multiple times that next day?
Well, the first time he called, he said, Selena, this is President Trump. Like, I don't know it's President Trump, right? He said, I didn't even say hello. And he said, are you okay? Is Shannon and Michael okay? And then I did something that my parents are not going to be proud of. And even though I'm 65 years old, I still worry about my parents being proud of me. I swore at the president. I'm not going to swear now, I promise. But I said, are you bleeping kidding me, sir? You've just been shot. And then I was like immediately mortified. And he just laughed at me. I want people to read the book to find out these parts. But these conversations were very deep. Were very, very emotional, and they centered on the importance of being strong mm-hmm. when you're a president, that you transcend from being self to a representative of being the president of the United States, just which you will find out is behind why he said fight, fight, fight.
Yes.
People think that was a grandiose, you know, sort of Trumpian moment. No, it was a very presidential moment. Mm. And you also find out about faith with him. And not just in that moment, but also throughout the dozens of interviews I did with him across Pennsylvania in talking about faith mm-hmm. and talking about God and his struggle, the profound struggle with the death of Corey Compatore.
Mm-hmm. That's all in Butler from Selena Zito. It's also this great book and look at the fight for America's heartland and these people and places that only Selena Zito gets to. You have a piece of advice early in the book about the importance of place.
Yeah.
And you say if other journalists would just understand the importance of place, they'd know what, whom, and how to cover today's politics. So expound on that. Give some young journalists some advice about the importance of place.
Well, and that's one of the things I really drove home with my students at Hillsdale, that we have to have more understanding of the people that decide elections. They are not the people that live in Washington and New York. However, that's where the majority of our cultural curators are, right? The people that run corporations, institutions, institutions, legacy media, Hollywood, the NFL, right? They're all sort of centrally located in these super zip codes. And the people that live in these super zip codes are very transient. They came to here. They aren't from here. People that decide elections are very rooted in place. Place is their power, whereas money and transaction and wealth and, you know, being on a board of something is power for someone in D.C. or New York.
Mm-hmm.
Power for someone in the middle of the country is being able to live down the street from your grandparents. Power is being an usher in your church. Power is being part of the Rotary Club or the JCs, you know, making a difference or coaching Little League.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see that stretch of generational experiences where you are connected to your parents, your grandparents, and your children and your grandchildren. That is power, and that power comes through place, through rootedness. You know, the majority of Americans, this is going to blow your mind, the majority of Americans, 8 out of 10, this is not something I just made up, this is census data, live within just a handful of miles of where they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, they don't consume politics in the same way that someone from D.C. and New York does. Their consumption and understanding of politics is very wedded to how does this affect my community? How does this affect my family? How does this make my kids' school, where my parents went to school and where I went to school, how does it make it better and stronger? You know, and that is really laid out in the book. You know, I kept almost wanting to scream at the top of my lungs in frustration because, you know, there was an assumption that Trump would only earn white working class.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, no. The working class and the middle class don't vote by race. They don't get divided in the way that you are dividing them. They vote shoulder to shoulder because they live in the same neighborhoods. They work at the same places. Their kids go to the same schools. They're standing on the same soccer fields. They vote with each other. There's connective tissue between each other,
mm-hmm.
and no connective tissue with New York or D.C.
Yeah. That's Selena Zito. Her book is Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. More about that fight for America's heartland next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
To turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local. keep your home in winning shape and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio, including YouTube. Selena Zito is with us. Her book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. Selena, the book takes us through that last year or so of the presidential campaign. One of the things post-assassination attempt, you note that people were now more proud, more willing to publicly support Donald Trump than perhaps they would have been before the assassination attempt. Do you think there was a measurable impact on his support, or was it simply people changed the way they talked and perhaps discussed him with others?
It's the latter. The support was there. I would argue that the support had been there since he showed up in East Palestine,
right.
East Palestine,
yep.
Which is where the train derailment was. I would argue that that cemented him. What made the difference in terms of the robust conversation about supporting him is people were like, I mean, I went to a soccer field, and there are these young moms, college-educated moms, who the assumption was that they were going to vote for Harris,
mm-hmm.
because that's the silo that my profession puts them in. And they're like, they had like Trump hats on and Trump shirts on, like fight, fight, fight shirts on. I was like, oh, And so I talked to them, and I did this repeatedly. And I did it repeatedly with people that they assumed wouldn't vote for him, meaning Hispanics and blacks. And they were basically like, yeah, he took a bullet for us. We can wear a hat. You know, it really came down to that.
Yeah.
And the other frustrating thing that really drove me crazy, not just the dismissal that President Trump would earn the support of his minorities, but I kept reporting, and it was ignored, that the amount of young people, the amount of young people was just mind-blowing. And I went back, and I remember writing in 2017 for the New York Post, I remember writing that Gen Z was more conservative. And I took a lot of guff for that. But it turned out, you know, these kids were just coming of age and just voting, starting to vote in 2016. It turned out that was exactly right. And I saw them. I saw them in droves. They came in every shape, size, color. They came from every background, and they were all in. And by the way, they still are.
Yeah. During the campaign, you are watching Kamala Harris mostly from afar as she takes the Democratic nomination from Joe Biden. And you describe this very strange non-rally in Pittsburgh ahead of the Democratic National Convention. There's no press involved. No one knows when and where it's happening. There's no voters who are there. And it struck me as I read, Selena, that this was the basement campaign. This was the Biden basement campaign above ground, meaning you saw Kamala Harris, but there was no interaction. Why do you think that was the strategy, and how did that harm her? Did that harm her with regular voters across the country?
Oh, I mean, I remember calling a strategist in D.C. and saying, "What Democratic strategist? Like, what's going on? She's everything, every event is closed. People can't, you know, you can't attend and, you know, kick the tires, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be invited, and you have to be part of the Democratic committee locally." I mean, she spent, I think, a total of 14 days in Pittsburgh, and nobody saw her. It was the most. And then when she did come out, she went to this historic neighborhood in Pittsburgh, very popular. There's 122 small businesses on this in this area. It's called the Strip, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of these great ethnic Epicurean shops. She goes to the one place that is a franchise called Penzi's Spices, who is run by this not-so-nice person. I'm going to use a good adjective. A not-so-nice person, y'all can look it up, who regularly posts on his company's news website how much he hates Republicans. And I'm like, why would you pick this place? Like, you're signaling that you don't want any other voter except the Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't win an election by doing that. You can't win an election by having events that are only for the Democratic committee people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to form a coalition. There was no effort to form a coalition. There was no reaching out to different segments of the population that might be curious and might consider voting for her. And it was the worst run campaign that I've ever seen. I mean, it was the Biden campaign of 2020. They were sort of trying to get away with that basement campaign thing again.
Right.
But when you're with a viable young woman running for president, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely terrible.
You have a lot about J.D. Vance in Butler as well, Selena.
Yeah.
And you had interactions with him pre-Senate campaign, certainly on the campaign as vice presidential candidate. The press said he was a liability, and it turns out he was a weapon. Why was he so effective for Donald Trump?
Oh, you know, I remember J.D. Vance and I were both new hires at CNN in 2017. We're covering we're on a panel, and there's like, I don't know, 15 people on the panel. Probably not really, maybe 8. And it's in a circular, half-circle panel. Heather and I are on the furthest ends, and it's inauguration day, and they are bashing Trump voters. And I remember looking up at him and him looking up at me, and we both, like, rolled our eyes because we knew the camera wasn't on us. And afterwards, we became – I instantly understood this young man. I instantly understood his potential. We did a couple of speeches together. Mm-hmm. I was the moderator. He gave the speech. And I just knew that this young man had so much potential and was – I told him the first time I met him, you know, you're going to be governor one day. And he teased me about it when he ran for senator. He goes, you were wrong, Zito. I'm like, not that much. I wasn't that wrong. And I had, I followed his race. Everyone said he was going to lose that Senate primary. And I'm watching him. I'm covering it. Ohio's just across, literally 24 miles from where I live. Mm-hmm. Covered it extensively. And I was like, no, he's not going to lose. He's going to win. I knew he was going to win that governor's race, that race against Tim Ryan in Ohio.
Yes.
He's not a liability. He is so smart. He is so charismatic and personal. Personable, but he's also of a brand new generation for conservatives, mm-hmm. and for the conservative movement. Both he and Marco Rubio really take the lead on the movement.
One final question for Selena Zito. Her new book is Butler. I know that we can look at this and see exit polls and this and that, but Selena, you saw 2016 before anyone else, and you covered everything leading up to 2024. So I want to ask you, how would you compare and contrast the 2016 Trump coalition and the 2024 Trump coalition?
So it's essentially the same, but expanded. So in 2016, among the working class, it was majority white. That has dramatically changed. Mm-hmm. Same kind of voter, right? The same, you know, lives in the same kind of place, mm-hmm. Except that it's expanded beyond the white working class voter. You know, I don't really see much of a change outside of just an expansion, an important expansion, but an expansion of what already existed in those seven archetypes that I laid out in my first book, The Great Revolt.
Mm-hmm. Selena Zito is wonderful. Her new book is as well, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. You can also catch her in the Washington Examiner, print and online, as their national political reporter. Selena, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, Christopher Matsos, Chairman and Associate Professor of Theater here at Hillsdale College, tells us about the role of theater in a liberal arts education and what we can learn from studying it. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th with two matinees on July 20th and 27th and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to subscribe to get new episodes of this program. Do it via Apple Podcasts, via Spotify, or via YouTube. We're joined by Christopher Matsos. He is chairman and associate professor of theater here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Matsos, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Talking today about the role of theater here at Hillsdale and in a liberal arts education, and that's where I want to begin the conversation today, which is what role should and can drama and theater and a program about those topics play in a liberal arts education?
Last night, I was at a rehearsal for our first ever playwriting competition, one of the performances that's going to be a part of this, and a freshman student was speaking to me about his interest in possibly becoming a theater major, and I said, "What do you like about theater?" And he said the perfect answer to this question, which is that theater is itself, it captures everything that we love about the different liberal arts. It's a perfect microcosm of all of the different things that we look to in this quest to understand the human experience. It is history, and it's literature, it's poetry, it's music, it's visual art, it's everything, religion, politics, economics. And it's not to say that theater sort of owns those things, mm-hmm. but it is a perfect vehicle and one that our ancestors have known for millennia, that it's such an excellent way to explore the world. And so I think it's a microcosm of the liberal arts, and we try to situate it that way on this campus, that our department is kind of a mouthpiece for expressing the things that are most vital to us on this campus.
All right, so how can learning, studying, performing these plays help teach students and the audience perhaps about history, economics, religion, philosophy, things that were thought, debated, and talked about through the years?
Yes, it is. That's such a good question. And the answer is embodiment, lived experience. When you are reading something, it's hypothetical. When you are embodying it, representing it with your whole person on a stage, even if it's just in front of a few others in a class, that shifts it into a different dimension. We know now that the brain doesn't really identify a difference between a story that it's being told and your own lived experience. And that helps us to explain why theater is so fundamental and has been going on since as long as we seem to have had people. But the Greeks knew this very well. So many of their plays are almost like models in the way we'd have a computer model that kind of projects outcomes. Greek tragedy was a sort of computer model for outcomes of human behavior. So it was a sort of safe public space for saying, what if someone makes this choice versus that choice? So when the actor is simply the interpreter, the one who interprets or reads or embodies the material given to them, and when we do that, it's a major shift in the mind. And so I think, and I recommend to my colleagues in all disciplines, that a physical, on your feet, embodied experience of material always finds its way into the mind a little more directly in a lasting way. And so I think for those reasons alone, it's worth doing.
Talking with Dr. Christopher Matsos, he's chairman and associate professor of theater here at Hillsdale College. How does theater help students prepare, not just for the next show, the next performance, but for life itself? How can it assist in navigating the human experience?
I have a class that I teach every fall called Acting One, and what seemed to have started in the minds of many students, at least when I was first starting at Hillsdale, as acting lessons, has clearly over time demonstrated in the experience of students to be one that's more like life lessons, or kind of, you know, how do I comport myself as an individual? And we do so much work here that's awesome work about the governing oneself. And what an acting class does is helps the individual to know, how do I simply stand with my feet planted, my heels planted on the ground? You know, how do I make eye contact with my listener and hold it? How do I breathe when I'm going into a moment that might be kind of an exacerbating moment? So the skills that prepare the actor for the stage are the same that prepare the individual for a meaningful and a life, and one that's lived intentionally. And so I think that I've seen over the years a real move from that acting, you know, acting one class being only for actors to being for people who just want to have some of those skills. Mm-hmm. And they're frequently testifying to that. I routinely get, particularly, I don't know, from certain disciplines. I just got another email the other day from a former student who's a lawyer, who said, I've just blown away the competition in law school from my ability to simply stand up and be strong and assertive in my presence. And that's only one example. I think that the skills are widely applicable.
For the audience, for those who appreciate theater or the arts, how can one be a better appreciator, if that's a proper word to use, of theater and of live performances?
It is so important that we do this. There is a skill to being a listener and to being an audience member that we culturally are losing. And it is because we've become so used to being entertained or educated by screens where that don't notice our reactions. And this never used to be the case. In history, the audience always was a participant in the theatrical event. Shakespeare, to attend one of Shakespeare's plays was like attending a boxing match. People were, you know, rooting for their favorite character. And so we've lost that. And I think it's really important because we need to signal to those speaking to us that their efforts matter. And so I tell students, even when they're audience is only in the sense that they're listening to a lecture I might give, that, you know, you're going to go off and work somewhere and your boss will be speaking to you, and you must wear a respectful demeanor when you're doing that. So in answer to your question a little more directly, I think people should seek out live theater, first of all, because simply attending a live thing cultivates that skill. Mm-hmm. And prior to going, research the play that you're going to see and its themes. There's a wonderful practice in the theater called dramaturgy, which is often overlooked, but it's the art of theater research. And so often you will find a dramaturg has written up either a website or some information that audiences can take in before going, because, you know, you'll be a little more tuned into what you're going to experience and have a better time. Mm. But it's vitally important that people cultivate a habit of going to live live events, music and theater, to be better at being places.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
What do you like most? What's your favorite part about teaching theater?
My favorite part about teaching theater is probably in the acting classroom, when a student realizes that acting can be taught. Mm. When they have learned or taught themselves over the years that acting is only for talented people, and when they realize that acting is simply action. Mm. And if you can do something in the presence of others watching, an act of theater is being attained. And so when they reach that point of realization, it's always the most rewarding thing, and it's really funny, because what happens inevitably every time is they forget their lines. They have practiced their lines robotically at home, and then they stand up in a class to say their lines, and suddenly the lines go out of their heads, and they get a little flustered, and they start to sweat a little bit, and they say, oh, let me start over. I messed up. I feel a little flustered. And I say, well, would not Hamlet feel flustered in this moment? And they realize that they've made it, that they're acting, and that's a really beautiful moment.
Hmm. Dr. Christopher Matsos, he's chairman and associate professor of theater at Hillsdale College. Dr. Matsos, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Selena Zito. Her new book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. And Christopher Matsos, Chairman and Associate Professor of Theater here at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Get ready for the day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast sets you up to seize any moment, rain or shine. Brought to you by the Queen of Dragons, a value-driven local spot offering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Friday special lasts all weekend till supplies run out. Hurry over. Check them out on X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop every day. The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.